Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our message is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And in particular, that last verse is what I'd like to draw your attention toward, where Mary says to Gabriel, the angel, in response to God's call to service, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is our text. The Service Training and Service Act of 1940 was passed by the U.S. Congress on September 16, 1940. It required all men between the ages of 21 and 64 to register with the Selective Service. And then on December 7th, 1941, the Japanese military launched a surprise attack on the United States Naval Base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Following that attack on Pearl Harbor, Congress amended the act to require all able-bodied men, ages 18 now to 64, to register with their local draft board for military service throughout the duration of World War II. In reality, though, only men 18 to 45 years old were ever drafted. But within 30 days of the Pearl Harbor attack, 134,000 Americans enlisted in the military. More than 16 million served in the military in World War II. But of that 16.1 million, only 6.1 million service members were volunteers. That means that roughly two-thirds of all of the men that served in World War II were drafted into service. And in an attempt in the recruiting process, there was a famous poster that was actually brought back from use in World War I. Many of you have seen this. I know it's not very large, but it's the largest I could print. And it shows who? Uncle Sam pointing at who? The person who's viewing the poster, with the caption that read, "I want you for U.S. Army." I find it interesting that their grammar wasn't quite right there. But anyway, today though, in our famous gospel reading, which is generally read during the season of Advent. In fact, I bet some of you were saying, why is he reading that text at this time of the year? Well, God, in that text, points his finger at the Virgin Mary and says, I want you. This calling is so much greater than that of Uncle Sam, or any other call from the people or entities of this world. This is God the Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, calling on Mary in a very specific, direct way. And if anyone thinks this was an easy call for her to ponder, you're not really considering all that Mary would have to sacrifice and endure with this call. Yet the biblical text that we have before us today presents Mary's response of faith and trust as if she didn't even hesitate for a moment before boldly declaring that she was ready to serve her Lord, to be his faithful servant. As I said, God was calling her to a very big task, to be the earthly mother of the ultimate servant, God's Son. In fact, any and all human service can only exist because of his perfect standard of humility and self-sacrifice for others. As Gabriel said, this son to come from Mary's virgin womb would be called, quote, the Son of the Most High. As Paul tells us in our epistle reading, Jesus would obediently serve his Father's, well, actually it was the entire triune God's plan to save all mankind to the point of death, it says, even death upon a cross. Gabriel says his given name from God would be Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. And when Mary heard this amazing news, she was quick to offer up her life entirely, openly, to serve God and His purpose, not hers. What about you and me? Have we been called directly from God too? Though we commonly forget about or take it for granted, the answer is yes. It wasn't an angel that God sent to us. No, actually, God chose to be more direct with us than that. He came Himself to you and to me in the Holy Spirit through the water and word calling in our baptism, adopting us into His unique and chosen community of believers. Just as we confessed earlier in the Creed, the Holy Christian Church, the communion, that is, the common union of saints. And it's here, in His church, that God promises to equip us, strengthen us, build us up, as long as we don't misuse or refuse to use His word and sacraments, or ignore the mutual encouragement of His family of believers here, so that we too, like Mary, have been made ready to serve our Lord in eagerness and joy. In fact, in both the Nicene and the Apostles' Creeds, we affirm God's implementing of Mary into His service when we confess that Jesus was incarnate or conceived by the Holy Spirit in and through His servant, the Virgin Mary. And don't forget that when Gabriel came to Mary here in today's text, she was somewhere around 15 years old. That would be, Jasmine, how old are you?
12.
All right, 3 years older than Jasmine. Xander, how old are you?
I'm 15 right now.
The same age as Xander. Think about that. Living in Nazareth and engaged to Joseph. I think we can all agree that Gabriel's message changes her life. He comes both to comfort Mary and share her job description. Verses 30 and 31. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So, if Gabriel just appeared to you and me right here, right now, as he did to Mary, our instinctive response, I'm pretty sure, would be fear, right? But not only does Gabriel literally say to Mary, stop fearing, but he adds, you have found favor with God. She didn't deserve God's favor, His grace, His undeserved kindness. She was a sinner, just like you and me. She couldn't earn God's favor any more than we can. But God chose her, purely by grace, to be the mother of Jesus. This was a massively big deal. God was about to fulfill His promise to send the Messiah. He was preparing to send His Son on the mission of all missions to save the entire world, to save all of mankind from our sin. But let's be clear. God did not merely recruit his son, as we might think of someone being chosen for a special task. God was sending his son, of the very part of himself in the Holy Trinity, to pay the debt of sin for you and me and all people. As Luther taught us to say it in his meaning to the second article of the Apostles' Creed, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. After all those years of waiting, some 4,000 years, God was going to make it happen. This young nobody of a person, Mary, was about to be the mother of the promised Messiah. And so it makes sense that Mary was a little perplexed. We can only imagine what thoughts may have been racing through her mind. And so she asked Gabriel a question, not a question like Zechariah, the father of John the Baptizer, did when he asked the angel for a sign. No, Mary simply asked for an explanation. Her confusion is reasonable. She was still a virgin. How will this be, since I am a virgin? She asked in verse 34. God's answer? See if this would calm you if this were you. God's answer? Well, your child will not have a human father. Verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You see, this child could not be conceived, not born in sin like the rest of us. He was going to be called the Son of God. Mary's son would be God's son, perfect, without sin, before and after conception, and into eternity. A human man unlike any other, making it possible then for Jesus to say in John 3, verse 16, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Back to Mary's question. How can this be? Both the angel's answer and the summary of his message is this. Nothing will be impossible with God. That which is impossible in any and every one of our human minds, God was now doing. There would be one and only one human birth without a human father, using a virgin peasant girl as a mother. Just wrap your minds around that for a second. There would be one and only one human birth without a human father, using a virgin peasant girl as the mother. God takes the ordinary and creates the extraordinary. Truly, that which is out of the world extraordinary. And Mary's response, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary was ready to go. No hesitation, because Mary was a woman of faith. Faith that allowed her to believe and accept the angel's message without question. Faith that placed her in the ready position to serve her Lord. And what's the basis that makes Mary ready to serve? It is God's holy and perfect word. She said, let it be to me according to your word. Now she's talking to Gabriel, but she believed that this message through Gabriel was in fact God telling her that she would be the mother of the Son of God. Mary heard these seemingly impossible words, but her focus was not on the impossible part, but on the fact that these were God's words. That made the impossible things irrelevant. Because her faith knew, from all that she had seen and heard in her short 15 or so years of learning about God's power and His way of operating, from the recorded scripture, that nothing will be impossible with God. Remember, her scripture at that time was what we know of as the Old Testament. Can you think of any examples in the Old Testament of God doing that which is impossible? We don't have time to share them all, right? And this fact alone strengthened and emboldened Mary to be ready to serve. She didn't worry about how she would explain this to Joseph, her fiancé. It wasn't going to be easy. But she trusted in God. She knew that God would work it all out. After all, Jesus, her son, God's son, was coming to serve also, to fulfill a much bigger task than just being miraculously born. His task, his job description, as he shared with his disciples in Mark 10, verse 44, 45, was this: the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' entire life was one of serving. He taught, and he served in doing that. He healed people, and he served in doing that. And then he went to the cross. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. Why? To bring us, to serve us with salvation. As Paul summed it up in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8, Christ Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In true servant-like form, Jesus made the impossible possible. Not for himself, but for us. Purely by God's grace and favor, Jesus accomplished the impossible, opening up eternal life to us sinners, to all who believe in Him. Yes, His was a rescue mission here to earth, a mission that meant He would suffer agony that not one of us could ever imagine, that He would die to pay for all the sins over all the world. In other words, He would do the impossible. And He started by doing the impossible. He rose from death to conquer death. That first Easter morning, Jesus accomplished His mission. Now, what's that mean for us? Mary was ready to serve. Jesus served. What about you? What about me? If we're looking for some inspiration, we can, of course, look at Mary and her response. God has already, that's a key word there, God has already made you and me entirely ready to serve Him, just as He did Mary. We have already received, we have already experienced God's grace through the efforts of His Son. He's already given us His written word, the same word that is proclaimed here every week in worship, the same word that we study and apply in Bible class and Sunday school. And through these gifts of grace, He has redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil. And because of that saving work, you and I now have the opportunity, the privilege, the joy to be servants, just as Mary did. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He, Jesus, died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. That's something for all of us to think about in a mirror real quick. To no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. So, are you ready to serve? Cool, I wasn't even asking you to answer. Jesus' death for you says, yes, you are. We stand ready to serve, and we do so with joy. Now, today in particular, we remember our Lutheran Women in Mission, also known as the LWML. Their motto is all about willing service, about the attitude of joyful serving. We already had Jasmine read the banner up here behind me. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with
gladness.
Since 1942, Lutheran Women in Mission has focused on affirming each woman's oneness with Christ, encouraging, equipping women to live out their Christian lives in active ministries of service to God around the entire world. Just as an example, between the years of 2023 and 2025, so we're in the middle of that, their goal is to raise $2,350,000 through their little mite boxes, through their offerings, to fund mission projects both in the U.S. and around the world. When God called Mary, she was ready to serve, saying, I am the servant of the Lord. And then her son, God's son, said of himself, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So today, as his baptized children, because of him, you and I are, present tense, made and redeemed, ready to serve. Martin Luther teaches us to understand it this way. He answers the question, why did Jesus give his life and redeem us? Quote, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. For he is risen from the dead, lives, and reigns to all eternity. And those of you that remember this from confirmation, the last words, this, my dear friends, this is most certainly true. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.